Okay, we're starting here in the middle of Tet Amud Bet by the two dots. Mar is quoting from the Mishnah, the Rabbi Omer, Kol Isha Shavru Alea, Shlosh Onot. Any woman who has three intervals, three cycles that she's passed without having any sighting, it's as if she becomes Misuleket Damim. It's as if there is no expectation now that she's going to see Dam or have a cycle. Tanya, Amar Lahem Rabbi Eliezer L'Chachamim Masib Rivachat Behetelo. There was a incident, a case with this young girl in Hetelo, name of a place, Shivsika Shloshonot, that she had stopped seeing Dam for three cycles. Vamaselifne Chachamim, the case came to the Chachamim, Vamru Dayashata, that the next time that she has a sighting, we don't worry about the Tumah Lamafreya, and it's from that point forward that we assume that the Tumah came. Samlo, Ein Shatatcha, Kraya. Well, how could you suggest that? That incident was an emergency situation, an unusual circumstance. What was the issue? It was a time of famine. Other possibilities that she worked with a lot of tarot. The reason for both of them is Choshu Rabbanan Lefseid Tarot. Rabbanan were worried about the economic loss here. What we call, in other instances, Hefseid Meruba. It was too much in terms of economic loss to uphold their position. Here, this is all a gzerat chachamim, that we say that the fine or the point at which she sees the dam is not the point at which the tumah begins, but the underlying assumption is that it happened 24 hours or at least 24 hours before, b'kpikida l'pikida or mi'et le'et, and therefore we're mitamei retroactively all of those items that she came into contact with. In shnei batzoret, where there isn't a lot of food, is very limited amount of food, or in a case where she worked with large quantities of tarot, the loss that would be caused by upholding the Chachamim's position here would be significant. And therefore the Chachamim waived this din of Tumah retroactively in an instance where it caused economic loss that far exceeded what we would normally expect in these situations. Tarabanan, Maseh Vasa Revi Ki Revi Eliezer. An incident came up, and Rabbi Paskind like Rabbi Eliezer. The Chash Nisgar, Amar, after he remembered, Kedayu Rabbi Eliezer l'smokhu la b'shata atachak. Alright, we can rely on Rabbi Eliezer at shata atachak. So, my lachar shenisgar. What does it mean that he remembered? Ile, my lachar shenisgar, dein alocha ki Rabbi Eliezer, ala ki Rabbanan. What did he remember here? If he claims that it was a shata atachak, we just saw that the Gemara said, in these unusual circumstances, these emergency situations, you're allowed to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. So what does that mean that he remembered now? If it's really a shatat chak, and the locha is like Rabbi Eliezer, there was nothing to remember. He should have been fine. If you think the locha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, even b'shatat chak, then b'shatat chak echabit kavatei. How could you paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in that instance? Doesn't make any sense. If you think the locha is like Rabbi Eliezer b'shatat chak, then what did he have to remember? He did the right thing. If he thinks the locha is not like Rabbi Eliezer b'shatat chak, then what does it matter? Then can't rely on him. There's nothing to rely on over here. Ella, d'lo yitmar yitkhada lo kimar v'lo kimar. We don't have any clear psak halacha here like either one. Umay la'achar shenizkar. What does it mean that he remembered? La'achar shenizkar d'lav yachid palig alei. He remembered that this was not just an argument between two tanaim. Ella, rabim palig alei. The rabbonon argue on him. Mar kedayu rabbi Eliezer l'smoch l'abishat achtach. At that point, he said, "B'shat Tzchak, I can rely on Rabbi Eliezer." In Ochanami, in normal circumstances, the locha will not be like Rabbi Eliezer because you have Rabbim that argue on him. Yechid v'Rabbim alocha ki Rabbim, and therefore we'll all paskin like the Rabbonon. B'shat Tzchak, even though again it's Rabbim neged Yechid, nevertheless, if you happen to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, or you need to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, b'shat Tzchak, we have such a dispensation. B'shat Tzchak. Darabanan. Tinoket shelo higia zmanali wrote. I met a young girl who has not reached the point of puberty yet, the time when she would begin to see dam or menstruate. Vrata pamrishona, and her first sighting, dayashata. First sighting that she sees, then she doesn't have this 24-hour retroactive tumah, because first of all, it's her first sighting. And number two is, she's below the age where we would expect her to have sightings. Shnia, dayashata. Again, even on a second sighting, we still say dayashata because we do not have an expectation that this girl should see damim. Shlishit, she already sees the third time. Harihi kachol anashim umetama meit leit umepkida lepekida. then for sure, at that point, she becomes like a regular woman, and she does have this retroactive tumah, because she's now established the fact that she does have a cycle now, even though it's not in the time period when you would expect this girl to have a menstrual cycle. Nevertheless, it's clear that she is having it here. We've established a chazaka. Therefore, she becomes like any other woman. Avru ala shalosh onot. After she had these sightings, then it passes three intervals, three cycles, where she does not see damim. Then vrata. And then all of a sudden she sees it. Dayashata. Again, it's a reset button, like Rabbi Eliezer, we'll see later on in the Gemara. This is a reset after three cycles of not seeing. So then the next sighting is as if it's starting from scratch. Ve'od avru aleshlosho note. Again, after that sighting, she has another three intervals, three cycles where she does not see damim. Ve'rata. And then she does see again. Dayashata. Again, this is dayashata, because he hit the reset button again. Ve'od avru aleshlosho note. Then for a third time, she has three cycles, intervals, where she does not see the damim, and then all of a sudden she sees, harihi kechol nashim. Then she becomes like all other women, umitamami eight, umipkida, lemikpkida. Then she becomes like any other woman, which is that she has this retroactive tuma back to the lesser of the last check, or 24 hours. What's happening here, and this happened in yesterday's daf as well, the end of yesterday's daf, is that there are two possibilities of what's happening with a woman. A woman can have a veset. Veset meaning a cycle. A cycle that has normal intervals. We saw yesterday that an average interval is 30 days. Most women run an average of a 30-day cycle. There's something called a veset kavua. Veset kavua means that you have a fixed cycle. Every month, either you see on the same date or you see at the same interval. That's what a woman normally establishes, a veset. Some women have a veset sheina kavua, moves around all the time. They never establish any fixed interval or fixed time that they see. We also have a principle of something called musulakid damim. A woman who we don't expect to see damim, or we assume her damim had disappeared. For instance, an older woman who reaches menopause, she reaches a point where we assume that there's very low likelihood that she's going to see dam anymore. What we don't know sometimes is whether a woman is changing her cycle or whether she is misulekat damim, and she's not going to be seeing dam anymore. So as we saw this in yesterday's daf, and again here, that after you have three cycles, three intervals where you have no damim, our first assumption is that this person is misulekat damim, that she's not going to see dam anymore. And that is because in yesterday's daf, she was a zekena. She had reached the point where she was of the age where she could hit menopause. So we assume that once she stopped seeing, that meant that she wasn't going to see anymore. Same thing here, we're dealing with a girl, shalohi giyazmana, that has yet to reach the point where we would expect to have a cycle. So therefore, if her cycle disappears, we assume that that's the way it's going to stay. But then what happens is, she has, three times in a row, she ends up having this larger interval. So until now, for let's say the first couple sightings, she had a 30-day cycle. All of a sudden, she has 90 days where she doesn't see anything. Three cycles where she sees nothing. So our first assumption is, she's misulekat damim. It went away. She shouldn't have been cycling now, and that's what happened. It went away. Then she sees all of a sudden. She's like, okay, that's an aberration. But then she has another three cycles where she doesn't see, and then she sees again. Say, okay, maybe that's an aberration, but now if I put the two together, I'm starting to get a picture where this girl has, instead of having an interval of 30 days, is now has an interval of 90 days. And so what you have is what's called shinui veset. Her cycling has changed. And so once you've established a new chazaka, we assume, instead of it being misulekat damim, but you actually have a new veset here. So that's exactly what the Gemara described, which is that when you miss the three cycles, the first time we assume that that was misulekat damim. Second time, then maybe that's her first sighting within this interval. By the time the third time, you already have a chazaka. See, in a second, this is according to Rabbi, who says, if you already have two times, that's a chazaka. It's machloket, whether it takes two or three to establish a chazaka. Over here, we already established a chazaka by two. Number three already, she's considered like a regular woman. So that's what's happening. We're seeing that instead of it being misulekat damim, she has created a new veset. That's what was described here in the Braita. Now the Braita moves on to another instance, which is, time where she has already reached puberty, and we would expect her to see damim. At this point, pam rishona dayashata. First time she has a sighting, that's her first sighting, that's like betula. And at that point, she's dayashata, because we had no expectations before this. But once she's sighted the first time, shniya mitamam eitu mipkida lebkida. As soon as she sees the second time, we don't wait anymore, because our expectation is that she should be cycling now. So by the time she hits her second cycle, we assume she's cycling. And therefore, the mafreya, she has tuma, again, the lesser of 24 hours or the last check. So as opposed to in the previous case, whereas a tinoke, chaloigi azmana, over there she had to establish a cycle because we weren't expecting damim. That means the first and second time dayashata. Only on the third time do we say that there's tuma lemafreya. Over here with that girl who, where we do expect her to cycle, over here we say there is tuma lemafreya already on the second time. Because she should be cycling. Now, Avru Alesh Losho Note, Virata, Dayashata. She has this break again where she has three intervals, three cycles where she doesn't see. Then it's a reset. And Dayashata. So now, Amamar, Avru Alesh Losho Note, Dayashata. Hadar Kachazia Bo Note, Mai. What happens now if she begins to see again in her regular cycles? Amar of Gidom Arav, Pamri Shuna Vishnia, Dayashata. Shlishit, mitama, mi-eight-eight, umi-pikida, demik-pikida. So what happens in this case? We went back now to the case before, which is the tinoke chelo giazmana, according to Rashi. According to Rashi, here we're talking about a girl who should not be cycling now, pre-pubescent girl. And at this point, she saw dam, and then she had that interval break. She had three times she didn't see. We say, dayashata. The next line in that braita was, then she didn't see again for three cycles, and saw. And then three again, and then saw. What happens if the case is different? After having a break of three cycles, she sees for the first time. Then, 30 days later, she sees again. And then 30 days later again. She goes back to cycling at 30 days. So she originally was cycling, we saw in the braita cycle of 30 days. The first two times, dayashata, the third time, she's like a regular woman. Then she has this break of 90 days, where she didn't see it. Three cycles, she didn't see anything. She becomes a musulekit damim, because we don't expect her to have dam. She is at an age where she shouldn't be seeing damim. The next scenario, which the Gemara is asking about here, which was not addressed by the braita, is what happens if she starts cycling at 30 days again? She sees after 30 days, then 30 days. What's the din here? When we hit the reset button here, is it a complete reset so that she goes back to ground zero? And that means for the first 30 days, dayashata. Second 30 days, dayashata. Third time, then she'll be like any other woman. Or do we say because she's already once had this, established the cycle already, and then she had this gap of 90 days, so we hit a reset once. But if she starts the cycle of 30 days again, she's just returning to what was before, and her vesset never really changed. Therefore, by the time she sees the second time, we're going to say, no dayashata. You get one time on the reset. She gets a dayashata. By the time she sees the second time, we say, wait, we've seen this scenario before. She's already like any other woman by the second sighting. She has to wait to a third sighting before we make her like a regular woman. So that's the question being posed by the Gemara here. What Rashi says they're arguing about over here is whether this part of the Braita is like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel or like Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi argue about how many times it takes to establish a chazaka. Is a chazaka established by two or is it established by three? That's Rashi's interpretation. Tosafot has a different view of this. I'm going to stick with
Tosafot because
Rashi, very difficult. The question that we're asking now is just simply, when she hits the reset button, how big a reset is this? Does it go back to zip, nothing ever happened before? Or does the reset give you one chance? And then after that already, if you're seeing on a regular cycle, then you're going to be like any other woman.
Because the original sightings make her into a woman who is higia zmana lirot. And then when she has the interval or three cycles where she doesn't see, that makes her just like any other woman who higia zmana lirot. It doesn't reset her back to being like a woman who is shelo higia zmana lirot.
So the answer to that is, Amar Gido Amar Av, Pam Rishona Vishniya Dayashata. It's a complete reset. It means the first two sightings, Dayashata, Shlishit, Mitama, Meitleit, Mikvidav, Mikida. So what we have here is if she misses three cycles when she's not expecting to have dam, she has a complete reset, and it's as if the first case in that braita, the first case in the braita where she sees for the first time, she gets dayashata the first two times, the third time it becomes tuma lemafreya. Now the Gemara asks, ve'od, avru alea gimo note, v'rata, dayashata. In the case in the braita, we had a second series of three intervals where she didn't see anything, and then she saw again, we said dayashata. So that was the case where she had already, she had cycled earlier, then all of a sudden she has 90 days where she sees nothing, then she has a sighting. Then she has an additional 90 days and has a sighting. So now, both of those cases we said dayashata. Then there was a third time where she had a 90 day interval and she saw the third time there, which she said already she's mitamad lemafreya. What happens instead of on the third part of that cycle, instead of waiting 90 days, 30 days later she has another sighting. So she has starts out, again, cycling at 30 days. Then all of a sudden she has a 90-day gap, a sighting. A 90-day gap, a sighting. Then 30 days sighting, 30 days sighting. Again, when we hit the reset, the first time already, Rav Gittel Marav said a reset means you go back to zero and it starts over again. But over here, she reset twice. When she resets twice, what happens after that? That's the Gemara's question here, at least according to Rashi. She starts to see again now on 30-day intervals. My, what's the din here? Samar of Kahana, Amar of Gidom Rav, Pam Rishona Dayashata, Shnia, Mitamam 8-8, Umipkida, Limipkida. That's Dayashata. First time. Second time, she's back to being a regular woman and she has Tumah L'Mafreya. I mean, it's not a complete reset anymore. The first time we call it a complete reset. The second time already is not a complete reset.
Then we had the Marmar. Then we had the Kasha. Right. And the Kasha was, okay, now she again 13, 98. It's the third time she's seeing her 13.
No. So this question is going to the second line in the Braita. The Marmar was asking what happens after the first reset cycle. This question is, what happens if you have one reset cycle and then a second reset cycle? Not that she saw in between, also 30 days in between. This is a completely independent question of the first question. I mean, obviously it relates to the first question, but it's not that she saw 90-day break, then she started seeing 30 days, and then another 90-day break. No, she has a 90-day break, sees once, then a 90-day break, and then she starts to have 30-day cycling.
The second time that we say, the second time she sees it already, we say,
On the third cycle already, it'll be, but she's established a chazaka for if she has a third time, she goes to a 90-day interval and then sees that time, then it's mitaman le'ei. Question is, because the vesed is changing over here. You had 90 days, and now 30 days. Is that, have you established already a pattern where she's already not considered to be mislekat damima or not? If you look in Rashi, that's what Rashi claims the question is over here. Mi amrinin hada hadar tana batra riya shlishit b'afsaka. Why did the Braita bring a third interval of 90 days? Why was that the example brought over here? Davka, nakar hocha, hurumatama mleitei, deiglai milta, deshinu vesed ave, sikuta lirot. Is the only reason that we need that third time to happen is because that's how we establish that this is a new cycle. By having that third sighting, that's what establishes the third cycle. And therefore, what we saw until now was not siluk damim, rather start a new cycle. Oh, Dilma, kulei lo amrinin, dechazar lekat muta, v'saka shnia, dayinin leki yegi azmana, v'psika v'rata, d'ayi ri'i elechuta hu, d'dayi yashata, ava b'shnia, t'temem yed eit, v'ayidin akatana b'shlishit. So then, if the locha is like, Rav says over here that by the time the second time she starts to cycle again, that we don't do a complete reset, then why did the Tana give an example of a third cycle of 90 days? So what's the Chiddush then? Then why did the Tana say wait another 90 days and then you can have it be in the Mafreya? If, according to Rav, even if she just starts to cycle now, she would also be in a position where she would be mitameh l'mafreya. The chiddush is, even if she sees another 90-day gap, we don't call that a reset anymore. We call that a new cycle. So that's the chiddush of the Braita. So that's the question, according to Rashi, is what's the chiddush in the Braita over here? The chiddush in the Braita over here, that you can establish a cycle even when you have these breaks in between that are resets, and then therefore that even if you saw it immediately afterwards, you'd also have Tumah L'Mafreya, or do we say that's Dafka? You need to establish a new cycle in order to be Shinui Veset. If you don't establish a new cycle, you're flying all over the place, we're going to assume that it's Mislekat Damim, and it's a complete reset. So the answer to our questions are, in the first case, that it's a reset. She has 90 days, and then has a sighting, that is a complete reset, and we do not establish anything with that sighting. And therefore, starts from ground zero and she gets two sightings before we say that she's Tumah L'Mafreya. In the second round of intervals where we had 90 days and 90 days, over there already we say she's established a new cycle. And therefore, even if she sees right away, 30 days later, we already call her not Mislekat Damim. She's clear that she's sighting over here. And therefore, immediately if she continues to see, then she's Mitamah L'Mafreya. Now the Gemara says, Mani, who is the author of this Braita? Rabbi, he has to be Rabbi. It's clear here that the chazaka is being established by two sightings, not by a third sighting. We don't wait for the third sighting to establish the fact that she is a chazaka. If that was the case, it would only be on the fourth interval that she would be to Tumah L'Mafreya. We'd have to have three times of 90 days, after 90 days that she sights. Only on the fourth time would that be the chazaka established. The fact that we say after two times there's a chazaka, and the third time she's already Tumah L'Mafreya, shows you that the chazaka is being established by two times. That's Rabbi's position. Ema Seifa. What are you going to do about the Seifa of this Braita that says, Avru Alea Gimu Onot, Virata Dayashata? That if she had already two Onot, and then she sees Dayashata, which is like Atan Rabbi Eliezer. That's like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you get a reset. Anytime you have three cycles that you miss, you get a reset. V'chita Ema Rabbi. So let's say that the Braita was established by Rabbi. Uba Onot, serve like Rabbi Eliezer, and he holds like Rabbi Eliezer. Well, what's the problem with that? We just saw what Rabbi thought about Rabbi Lezer's shita. Remember, Rabbi Lezer paskin like Rabbi Lezer, and then remembered that he wasn't supposed to paskin like Rabbi Lezer. It's clear that Rabbi does not hold like Rabbi Lezer. Didn't we just say before that when he remembered that he didn't want to paskin like Rabbi Lezer? Ella, what do you have to say? The author of this braita is Rabbi Lezer. The author of this braita is Rabbi Lezer clearly, because he says after you have three gaps in your cycling, then reset. And he holds, Rabbi Lezer holds like Rebbe that you can establish a chazaka after two times. Instead of saying that it's authored by Rebbe and he holds like Rabbi Lezer, we did the opposite. We say it's Rabbi Lezer and he holds like Rebbe. Because that makes it easier, because Rebbe can't hold like Rabbi Lezer as we saw before. So we switched around to say Rabbi Lezer is the author of the Braita that says after three times you get a reset, and he'll hold like Rebbe in chazakot, that a chazaka can be established after two times. First case in the Braita. You had it in both cases, but in the first case in the Braita, we said, she sees a girl who's not seeing Damim yet. She sees the first time, Dayashata. She sees the second time, Dayashata. She says the third time, Tumah L'Mafreya. Why? She already established it with two times. So that's how we know it's like Rebbe. And the same thing with the intervals. She sees 90 days, then sees 90 days, and sees. By the third time already, you say Tumah L'Mafreya, which means that we're already establishing a Chazaka through two sightings, not by waiting for a third sighting. Okay, now, Ketim, Shibin Rishuna Vishniya Tohor. We have a machloket. So if she gets a stain between the first two sightings, again here, when you talk about the first two sightings, it can be either the case by the girl who is not expected to see damim, it's her first two cycles where she said dayashata, dayashata, and then the third one we say that it's tumah l'mafreya, or it can be in the case where we had the 90-day intervals. At 90 days she didn't see, and then she saw. 90 days she didn't see, then she saw. Both of those are dayashata. The third time is that she has 90 days, and she sees, and it's Tumah L'Mafreya. So either way, we know between the first two, we assume that she doesn't have Damim here. So therefore, she has a Ketem. At that point, the Ketem is meaningless, because we're not expecting her to see Damim. And if she had a full-fledged sighting, it would be Dayashata. So certainly, if she has a stain, then we're going to assume Dayashata, there's no Tumah L'Mafreya. So that the Gemara is clear about. Sheben Rishona Shniya, between the first and second sightings, for sure Tahor. Sheben Shniya Shlishit. Our problem comes between the second and third. We already said that this Braita is according to Rabbi, who says you can establish a Chazaka after two times. So the Chazaka is established already after the second sighting. Do you need a third sighting for her to have this concept called Tumah L'Mafreya? Or do we say it's enough that if she did see a third time, it would have been Tumah L'Mafreya, therefore a Ketem also has a din of Tumah L'Mafreya. And that's the argument over here. Chizkiya Amar Tamei. Chizkiya says that a Ketem already is the equivalent of a sighting. If you had a sighting, you would be Tmeya L'Mafreya. So to a Ketem. Yochanan Amar Tahor. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, until you have the third sighting, a Ketem is not meaningful. Chizkiya Amar Tamei Kevin. Deilu Chazia Mitamak. Since if she saw it now, she would have Tumah L'Mafreya. Kitma Nami Tamei. We're going to the same thing. The Ketem is going to have the same impact. The Ketem is going to establish for us that she probably had a sighting already. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tor, Kevin Delo Itchazka B'dam, since she has yet to have that third sighting and to have us be aware of it, Kidmanami Lo Mitaminan La. We don't assume that the Ketem means that there was Damim here already. So the question is, do you need the third sighting before Ketem becomes meaningful? Or is Ketem already meaningful after the two sightings? When you, if you had a third sighting, you would have been Tamei. And that's the Machloket here between Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan.
So Chizkiya holds that the Ketem is not here. Ketem says that you could be there, but we don't know when the Ketem happened.
Tamim or Midrabanan, we'll see that in a second, or all Midrabanan. And we established that a Ketem is an indication that she had a sighting. We assume that she had a sighting because she had a Ketem. When does that go into effect? Does that only go into effect after she's already in the Parsha of Damim, that she's seen a third time, and we assume, because she's seen a third time, it's Tumah L'Mafreya, which means that there are other indications that she's having sightings, so the Ketem is also an indication of sightings. Or do we say, no, that until she sees that third time, the Ketem is meaningless, because the Ketem is only in the context of where we know she should be sighting or she's already sighted. So the Ketem is not meaningful until after that third sighting. That's the way Rabbi Yochanan learns. I say, Matkiv la Rilai, Bechima ben Zula Betula, Shedamea Torim. How is this any different than a Betula? That we said before, that a woman who is a betula, she gets married, and then she has a sighting of dam tulim. Dam tulim are teorim. They're not dam nida. So we assume that any damim that exit the woman after she gets married and she was a betula, we are tole that damim as being from a betula or her betulim. And that's a general principle in nida, that if we can come up with a reason why she's seeing the dam, then we assume that that's the reason for the dam. We don't automatically assume that it's dam nida unless it's the time of her cycle. So if a woman has some sort of injury or something that causes the dam to come, we're going to say that that's what caused the bleeding, not her nida, unless, again, it's the time when she should be sighting. So over here, this betula, she got married. Obviously, it's not during her menstrual cycle because she wouldn't then be allowed to be with her husband. So the fact that she's getting married and she consummates the marriage, the dam that comes out, we assume are dam betulim. So over there, we say, dameha teorim, that any dam that comes out, we assume that those damim are classified as being teorim. So over here also, why don't we say the same thing over here? Why don't we establish, this is against Chizkiah, like Rabbi Yochanan, that if she's having a sighting not during her normal interval when we expect her to see, and she has a ketem, why don't we just tole it that it's not considered to be damim here? There's no reason she should be seeing damim over here.
The question is,
so very good. So here you go. That's the answer of the Gemara. Gemara says, Amalei, Rabbi Zera, Zu sirfa matsui. Sirfa is like the word saraf. Right? Saraf is the sap of a tree that leaks out. So over here, Zu sirfa matsui is talking about the betula. By the betula, there's an expectation that she should see damim. Why? Because we have a reason she should be seeing dam. That's not dam nida, which is her dam betulim. There's a reason that there should be dam here. So we could say that the ketan that she sees or anything she sees is not meaningful. Avazu ain't sirfar matsui. Exactly what you were just saying, David. By this girl, why would you have any havamina to say that this ketan is not dam nida? What other reasons do you have to say that she has damim here? What are you going to be tole this damim on? You have nothing to say that, oh, she saw it because of this and not because of this. There's no other reason for her to have a ketan over here except if it's dam nida. So that's the difference between the case of betula and the case of here. It's a case of what we just explained before, the tliyah. If you have a reason that you can say that the damim came here, fine, we'll be tole it. But over here, by our case, there's nothing else. What caused this dam to come out? Exactly what you were saying, David. What other blood has she seen besides dam nida? It's got to be dam nida, and that's what we Chizkiah's position. This ketem is evidence of the fact that you have dam nida here. There's no other reason that she'd be seeing damim. So then, Amar Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehud Tzedak. Tinoket shelo igia zmana lirot. Girl that has not reached the point of puberty where she should be seeing a menstrual cycle. Virata pam rishona v'shnia. If the first two times she sees, roka umidrasa b'shuk tahor. It's ma, nami tahor. So now over here, rishona shnia, two sightings. For the first two sightings we know it's dayashata. But after that second sighting, hirok and midras, by a regular nida, we'd have a problem of tuma. They are liquids that emanate from a nida, like a zav and a zava. They have a din of tuma. But then we say, if it's a safek, whether she is a nida or not, assume that they're tahor. Kidma, nami tahor. Veloyadana. And we don't know now, imdide, imdirabe. Is this
final statement in the Braita that says, kitma tahor,
is Rabbi Yochanan over here quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzedak, and this is an independent case? Or is Rabbi Yochanan's position the same position in both cases? So l'may nafkamina, why does it make a difference? The difference is, when Chizkiah argues on Rabbi Yochanan, how many people is he arguing on? Is he arguing on Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehud Tzedak? Because they both have that opinion, that after the second sighting, the ketem still remains tahor? Or is Rabbi Yochanan's position one and the same in both cases? Or they're different cases. One case is Rabbi Yochanan saying it independently. The other is Rabbi Yochanan casing in another case, B'shem Rabbi Yishim Ben Tzedak, which means that you have two people with that opinion. So is it two against one with Chizkiah, or is it one against one? That's the nafkamina here of whether Rabbi Yochanan is making a separate statement over here, or this is a continuation of what he said, B'shem Rabbi Yishim Ben Tzedak. Tahor is by the ketem. The ketem is tahor legamre. The rok and the midras, we don't know what she is. It's a case where we don't know the status of this woman. Normally, we'll establish that a woman in the shuk has a din of nida. It's a safek nida. And therefore will be choshesh for the fact that she is tmeya, or that her robe can be dressed in rubber, if she has a chazaka. This girl hasn't reached that point where we're going to assume that the safek is tmeya, because she hasn't established a point where she's chazkat damim. So that's why you were talking about a safek over there. It's not, we don't know what the status of this girl is at that point. Those people who are dealing in the shuk, she left some spit behind, we don't know what the status of that is. So there, the safek is going to be tohor. That's the case. But when we talk about the ketem, right, that's not a safek, then we don't know what to say about the ketem. The ketem's in front of us now. Ki at Rabin, where Rabbi came, Bechod Nechute Yama, Amrua, Rabbi Shimon ben Yod Tzadak. They said it's like Rabbi Shimon ben Tzadak. So everybody came, and when they brought the Misora from Eretz Israel, they said that Rabbi Shimon ben Tzadak, that is the Alokha, or that he is the one who has that opinion. And that makes it that we have two against one, because Rabbi Shimon ben Tzadak has that opinion, quote unquote, independent of Rabbi Yochanan. So Amar Rabbi Chilkiya bar Tuvi, Tinoket Shelo Higia Zmana Lirot, a girl who is in the point where she doesn't have an expectation to see Damim, Afilu Shofat Kol Zayin, even if she has a continuous flow for 7 days, and Ela Riachat, that is considered to be one sighting. The difference being, which we said before, for the first two sightings, she is Dayashata. The third sighting, she becomes like a regular woman. So over here, she has been seeing blood for 7 days. How many sightings is that? So the statement here of Rav is that since she saw it on a continuous basis, that's one sighting. So when it says, Afilu Shofat, that you wouldn't mean Afilu Shofat, that even she's falling below me by Poseket, and you're saying, oh, even if she had interruptions in it, that doesn't make sense. Other Rabbah. For second, I'd be like, she stops. If she has multiple sightings during that 7 day period, that sounds like it should be multiple sightings. Ella. So this is what you should say. Not a fido, but it is. If she continues a continuous flow for those 7 days, that's considered to be a single sighting. So then, Amar Rabsimi Barchia Midalefet, if she's dripping, Eina Kiroa. Now, as if she didn't see anything. What do you mean? She didn't see anything. She's dripping. It can't be that she didn't see anything. So the Ema, Eino Kishofat, Elapakoposeket. It's not as if she's flowing, but rather as if she's seeing multiple sightings. When she's dripping out, that's equivalent of having multiple sightings. Michlal, well, the conclusion of that would be that Shofat ki naharo. That when she is flowing, when we said Shofat, it means that she's flowing like a river. That's gushing or continuous. That doesn't make so much sense. We don't expect that the woman's going to be continuously sighting like that. Eleima ena ela kishofat. So say that when a woman is dripping, it's the equivalent of shofat. Shofat doesn't literally mean flowing continuously, nonstop, for 7 days. It means that it's happening on a very regular basis. She could be dripping all the time. She's having what seems to be a continuous flow. It doesn't have to literally be a continuous flow, but something that feels like a continuous flow, that has a din of shofat, that's only considered to be one sighting. A separate sighting would have to have some sort of break in the sighting, and then a restart of that sighting. That would be a break. But otherwise, if she has a pretty regular flow, that is considered to be one sighting. Tanu Rabbanan, Chazaka Benot Yisrael, Ad Shelo Yigia LePirkan, Harehen B'Chazkat Tara. Girls, until they reach the age of puberty, we assume that they are Tor. Vein Anashin Bodkot Otan. And the women don't check them. We don't check them to see that they've had Damim yet. We don't expect Damim, so we don't check for the Damim. Mishe Yigia LePirkan, Harehen B'Chazkat Tuma. Once they reach the age of puberty, we assume that they are going to see blood and they have a Chazkat Tuma. Vein Anashin Bodkot Otan. They check them. They check them to see if they're having damim, because we have an expectation now that they will see damim, and therefore we check them. We don't marry in bodkin otan biyad. We do not do a physical check to see if they have damim bipnei shemelvtot otan, because that causes problems. Now, it does cause problems. You could establish because they get scratched internally, and the scratching internally causes bleeding, which isn't dam nida, but they're going to assume it's dam nida. The way Rashi says is that by doing the internal check, you're going to trigger the dam nida coming out. And therefore, we do not want to do that. We do not want to push forward their sighting of the damim, so we don't want them to do internal checks. So, Ella, what do they do? Sachot otam b'shemen b'bifnim. They place oil internally. And then, umekanchot otam b'bechutz. And then they check outside. Vein nidakot me'alehen. The oil, I assume that the oil forces the blood out, maybe something akin to oil and water. When you have oil and water, they do not mix. So maybe by lining them internally with oil, that forces the damim that is released by the uterus to be pushed out. And so therefore they don't have to do an internal check, they can just do an external check because the damim will be pushed out. That's how they dealt with these young girls who had reached the age of puberty, they had yet to have a sighting, but we're expecting them to see. So we don't have to, if we keep checking them, we're going to cause them problems. So instead of continuously checking them, they just put oil internally, and then when the blood comes out, we'll know immediately that it came out because it'll be exuded by the woman immediately because of this oil. Okay, Rabbi Yossi Omer, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi says that a uberet and a meneket, someone who is pregnant, or someone that is nursing, they have a din of misuleket damim. So that's Rabbi Yossi, who says that dayashata with regard to these two women in our Mishnah. Since they have a din of misuleket damim, if they have three intervals, we don't see anything, they have a din of dayashatan. So now the Gemara continues. Tanik ta'ana kameh de Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi Omer, meuberet minikash, avru alea gimonot dayashata, like our Mishnah, she has three intervals where she doesn't see anything, then she has dayashata, she gets a reset as if she's misuleket damim. Amalei, tachta betray, v'siyamta bechado. You started out with the diktuk being in plural, and then you finished off with the diktuk being in singular. So it starts, if you read what it says here, Rabbi Yossi Omer, mi'uberet, uminika, she'avru. You have two people here, avru is plural, aleha, gimelo note, dayashata. You switched over to the singular. It should be, she'avru alehen, gimelo note, dayan, shatan. It should be in plural all the way along. You switched from being plural, talking about two women, and then all of a sudden you went to the singular form. So that's what it says here. Patachta betray, v'siyamta bechada. Dilma, mi'uberet, v'hi minika kamart. Maybe what you're saying over here is that Rabbi Yossi's position is not a case where it's a impregnated woman or a nursing woman, but rather a nursing woman who is pregnant. Umilta gavorche kamash. It's teaching us something. Dime yibura, olim la dime minikuta. V'hi minikuta, olim la dime yibura. That the ibur and the, which is the pregnancy and the nursing can combine to create a single chazakah. So we said just now that if you have three times where she doesn't say damim, she's classified as being a misuleket damim. Well, what happens if she establishes that part of that she doesn't have a sighting during her pregnancy? Part of that she doesn't have a sighting while she is nursing. Can they combine together to get you three times where she doesn't have damim? So maybe that's what the Braita is coming to teach us. Ketzad, what's that case? If Sika Shtayim Bimei Yibura, while she was pregnant, she had two intervals, two cycles where she didn't have a sighting. V'chad Bimei Nikuta, and then one when she is nursing. Shtayim Bimei Nikuta, or she had two cycles while she was nursing where she didn't see it. V'chad Bimei Yibura, and then one when she is pregnant. Achad V'mechza Bimei Yibura, one and a half while she's pregnant. And 1.5 while she's nursing. Mitzarefet the gimel anot. Very good. Right, exactly. Exactly. The Gemara is going to ask you a question right away. Don't worry. You're on track. Mitzarefet the gimel anot. And so therefore, she now gets a three cycles. That's what it's coming to teach us. So the fact is, the reason that it switched the lashon over here is not to say that pregnancy and nursing can have each one of them independently, but the Mishnah switched to that single lashon to teach us that they can be combined. The two areas can be combined to create or establish this three times of like a damim. Now the question that Shaul just asked, Bishlama, Yimei Yubura, Ulim La, Yimei Minukuta. I understand that you have pregnancy that succeeds nursing. Amishkachala de Kaminika, but Azla Miyabra. She was nursing, and then she became impregnated. Elo Yimei Minukuta, Ulim La, Yimei Yubura. How do you have a case where she was pregnant, and then she started nursing, and she has no dam in between? Hey, Mishkachala. What's the case where she didn't see damim? The birth will cause dam to come out. And of course, you're going to have a problem with the birth. The dam of birth is dam tmeya. And that's going to cause you a problem in between. So, ibai dema beleda yveshto. Some say that it was a dry birth. Mara talks about it in other places. There was no dam in the birth. There was no sighting of dam during the birth. Ibai dema dam nida luchud. V'dam leida luchud. Talking about two different issues. One is dam nida. One of them is dam leida. In Ochanami, dam leida makes her tmeya. But that's dam leida. Dam of birth has its own category. It's not the same as dam nida. She's not automatically a nida when she has dam leida. Today, we're choshish for that. Today, we are choshish that a woman who gives birth, not only does she have dam leida, she also had dam nida or dam ziva. And therefore, a woman, after she gives birth, is tmeya until she gets 7 days of tara, which takes a long time. Meaning that in the time of the Gemara, and based on the Din HaTorah, after 7 days, this woman, even if she continues to see damim, is Torah for a male, after 14 days for a female. So there you see clearly that those dam nida is very separate from dam leida. Because after that, dam leida, even if you see it later on, we'll get into tomorrow's daf, with why it is that the dam leida is Torah afterwards. But you see that there's a totally separate din. Today we've combined the dinim because we're afraid that she had a nida sighting while she was giving birth and we weren't able to focus on it. We were able to see it. And therefore we make every woman who gives birth into a nida or a zavah gedolah. But at the time of the Gemara, the two are separate. So therefore, even though she had sighting of dam from the leida, that doesn't affect her cycles. Yes, so she had two where she didn't see when she was pregnant. One afterwards when she was nursing, and that's no problem. Even though she had a sighting of dam in between, that was dam leida. Vibaitema tanichado. The other solution is to drop that case. That when we said ketzad, the only case we're talking about is when it goes from nursing into pregnancy. Case of pregnancy into nursing is not a real case. That's not a case that happens, and therefore drop that case entirely. So that's the third solution, is to drop that case entirely. Now, it happens to be that even if you do keep the case there, it's strange that what had happened until now is that she was pregnant and she was having sightings. And only in the last 2 months of her pregnancy, all of a sudden she's not having sightings anymore, which is very unusual. I mean, that case is unusual even to start with. And the reverse is true too. If she was nursing until this point, that means that she was having damim, and then only in the tail end of her nursing that she has two sightings, and then she gets pregnant. Right, that's, again, both, that makes the case very interesting. Tosafot asks a harder question, which is, don't we know that a woman can only come pregnant if she's cycling? Cycling is an indication of ovulation, and therefore, a woman can only become impregnated if she's ovulating. That the Gemara establishes elsewhere, that you have to have damim in order to have pregnancy. So he says, if she's nursing and not cycling, how could she become pregnant? In their day, they believed that if you were nursing, there's no chance you get pregnant. We know that's not true today. You can become pregnant while you are nursing. It works, but it's not 100% effective. So you do ovulate. That's what Tosa says in the end. This is Tosa saying it. Tosa says that, yeah, ala rov, you won't get pregnant when you don't see damim. But there is a chance. This minute chance, a smaller minority where you can become pregnant. Now it's interesting that he says that in general, but it's really true by pregnancy, that it's not 100% effective, and you can become impregnated even without the setting of damim. So that's just an interesting tosafot here, just to deal with it, in terms of the reality versus how the halacha views pregnancy. Alright, just let's finish up a little bit over here. But me'amru dayashata. When do we say dayashata? So there the Mishnah says that that's only in the first sighting. But in the second sighting, it becomes that she has tumah l'mafreya. On what was that last line of the Mishnah said? Amar Rav Akulu. Rav says it's on all cases in the Mishnah. All cases in the Mishnah includes pregnancy, nursing, zkeina, a girl has never seen before. All of those cases, first sighting, dayashata. Second sighting already, tumah l'mafreya. Shmuel Amar, lo shnayla betula v'zkeina. That's true by women. A woman who was never seen before, a woman who has supposedly hit menopause. Over there we say first sighting deyashata, second sighting, then it's tumala mafreya. Aval meubera dominika, dayan ko yume yiburan, dayan ko yume minikutan. Any sighting they have while they're pregnant, or any sighting that they have while they are nursing, we say deyashata, there is no tumala mafreya, because they are classified as women who are misuleket damim. Since they're classified as women who are misuleket damim, they can never establish that they have damim. It's just impossible. So any sighting is considered to be an aberration, and therefore a daya shata. So now the Gemara says, V'chein amar Rabbi Shimon Lakish, akulu. Shimon Lakish agrees with Rav, that it's going on everything in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel, that lo shna ela betulav zekein avu, mber t'minika dayan koi mei buran, dayan koi mei minukudan. Kitnai, similar to machloket anayim that we have. Mber t'minika shayu shofat dam. Is to have an impregnated woman or a nursing woman who has blood flowing. Ubaot, dayan ko yumei yiburan, but dayan ko yumei nikudan. They have their flowing blood on a regular basis. Nevertheless, dayan shatan, in all these cases, that's the divrei Rabbi Meir, Biosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon omrim, lo omrun dayan shatan, ala briya rishona, aval b'shnia, mitama meilet, umipikida, lemipikida. But then when it comes, that's only on the first time. But on the second time, they have a din of meilet, umipikida, b'kida, which is, means that now we have Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon neged Rabbi Meir. We know that Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Alocha ke, Rabbi Yossi, also Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Alocha ke, Rabbi Yehuda. Which means that the Alocha here is going to be that we say it about everything. That means that in the machloker between Rav and Shmuel, the Alocha is like Rav, which is true. Rav and Shmuel, Alocha ke, Rabbi Surei. Here we're talking about Surei, Alocha ke, Rav. The only interesting thing that comes out of here, you have a machloker is Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. We have a machloker Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Generally, the Alocha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Over here, the Alocha will be like Reish Lakish. So Rabbi Shlakish is aligned with Rav, as well as the Tanaim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we'll stop with that.
Good.